Hello everyone, I hope that everybody's doing well. Here I am with the first episode of my second season. And I have a lot to share. There's so many things that I want to talk about. So I need to be mindful of what I want to talk about, especially at this moment. And especially at this moment when there is a lot of fear. Everything around us is selling fear. And even within the spaces of spirituality and healing and all of that, I personally feel that they're also selling delusional ideas. Because, you know, there is like sort of trying to cover the sun with one finger. That's a saying that we have in Mexico. Quieres tapar el sol con un dedo. And it's just impossible. It is impossible to be all happy, happy all the time. It's not good for us to feel grumpy or sad all the time either. We have to allow the feelings to flow. But understanding that everything moves in a cycle. And understanding that we have no control of anything except of ourselves and our immediate reality. And that's it. And when I talk about our immediate reality, I'm talking more about what is around us, how we live, how we eat, where we put our money into, where we invest our energy into, and those things. Because we can't control anything that is external from us. And understanding that everything moves in cycles, and sometimes cycles can last for a long time. And some cycles are short. And understanding that what we are experiencing today, it has been experienced in humanity before. Every civilization, every generation has gone through cycles that have been difficult at its time. Of course they're different. Of course what we're experiencing today, it hasn't been experienced before. Because life and reality was different. So we need to have an open heart. We need to be able to change our perspective. And just allow the things to flow. Not grabbing a hold of things too tight. And this is what I want to talk about today. But this conversation, what I'm going to be talking about today, are things that I've been talking about pretty much my whole life. I guess using these spaces, it's been something that people have read or heard from me in the past 6 years that I've been using social media. But I have always been this way, and the people that are close to me, like really close to me, my family, my friends that know me since I was a little girl, they're aware that this is not something new for me. So what I'm going to talk about today, there are ideas or thoughts of maybe ways of life that ways of thinking that I believe should be practiced at all times. And it's the way that I have lived my life for a long time. But I want to also state that what I share, the way that I see life, the way that my medicine works for me, it doesn't mean that it works for others. I'm not here to heal the world. I'm not here to say that my way is the way. And although at times I will share facts, I always share based on my experience. And I will make statements of truth based on my experience, because my experience is valid. My experience is truthful. So everything that I share comes from that space. I am a healer, but I'm not here to heal anybody. And I'm not here to believe that I can heal anyone, because that will be very narcissistic of me. And I don't believe in any of that. So, welcome. Just wanted to give a little bit of that disclaimer. But before we start, I want to have a moment of silence. This is how I usually start my day. This is how I usually start any activity. And I feel this is a good habit to have. It's a good practice. It allows us to connect with ourselves. And for me, it always helps me to change the perspective. And when I start paying attention to my physical body, my breath, it helps me to ground. So whatever you are, of course, if you're driving, that will be impossible. But I'm assuming that at this moment, most people can create a space where they can be quiet. And I want to bring to the attention that having that space, having that the ability to create that those spaces of silence, of quiet, it's a privilege. And whoever is able to sit down and be chill in their homes, in their cars, wherever you are, and you're able to listen to these words, it's a privilege. Because not everybody has a chance to do that. And I'm not talking about listening to my words. I'm talking about creating quiet spaces for ourselves. Be able to say, I'm going to sit down now and I'm going to listen to this podcast, or I'm going to read a book, or I'm just going to chill. Being able to do that is a privilege. So with that in mind, bring attention to your breath, inhaling deeply through your nose, and exhaling fully. As you exhale, just let go of any tension that you may have in your shoulders. Just notice how they're sinking down. Let go of any tension that you may have in your hands, in your fingers. So completely relax. Notice your feet, your toes, letting go. Noticing your jaw and your teeth. And completely letting go. And allow the breath to flow. Inhaling deeply. And exhaling fully. Notice your mind. But don't try to change anything. Just allow any thoughts that are coming to you to be there, whatever it is. Don't have any judgment, just allow it to be there. Just allow yourself to be however you need to be at this moment, without trying to change anything, without trying to forcing anything. Just notice. if you're able to stay in whatever space you're in right now, I invite you to stay in that space. If you have your eyes closed, there is no need to open them. At this moment, it's only you, and even if there is family around, just keep the connection with yourself. Since I was a little girl, I always saw things in a very different way. I would speak of things that were not the norm. I would say that I was going to live my life in a certain way that was not the norm. My family never shut me down. They just laughed and I'm not sure. Probably they just thought, oh, you know, Billy's crazy. That's how my family calls me, Billy. I'm not sure. But they allowed me to be. At the same time, I'm aware that it was strange. They didn't shut me down, but I could tell that the way that I was thinking was not the norm. But I didn't pay much attention to it. I was just a little girl. I mean, this started when I was like 6, 7 years old, I remember. There's also recordings of me. We had this microphone and my dad always let us record ourselves. As I grew older, that way of thinking was still there, but I lived in a small town, very conservative town. And I felt I just had to go with the flow. I didn't feel constricted, but I always felt different inside. I always spoke my mind, no matter what. Since I was a little girl, we would walk in the streets, and I remember I would see people throwing trash on the floor. I would pick it up, go and like, say, excuse me, put your trash where it belongs, idiot. I would say that. Pon la basura en su lugar, pendejo. My mom would just be like, oh, Pili, you can't do that. But she didn't really shut me down, you know? I don't know. I guess maybe they found it amusing in a way. But as I started growing older, I saw how everybody was following everything that were being told. Even at school, I noticed how the norm was like, you can't contradict your teachers. You have to do as they say, even if they're wrong. And I just never follow that, because whenever I noticed that my teachers were wrong, I would tell them. I would raise my hand and tell them. I was that kind of person. And it's not like I was a nerd, but since I was a little girl, I knew it was important for me to speak up my mind. And whenever I saw that there was something wrong, that it was not truth, or it was not okay, something that it was not okay for me to see, I would always speak up. And I saw how it was not well taken. It was not the norm, specifically speaking about Mexico as a woman, as a young woman. That's maybe today there is more openness about that, and I know that, you know, it's still not that way. I mean, it's still not that way across the world. But I always had that. And then as I grew up, as I started living my life, when I left home, when I built my family and just lived my life, that always stood with me. And I always questioned everything, everything. I never took anything as truth. I always had to do my research. Even when I was studying yoga and being part of all of that, I always questioned everything. And I actually never fell into believing in gurus or sages or any of that stuff. Never. Never. I have never seen anyone as my mentor, as my guru, as my teacher. And I don't know, maybe this sounds narcissistic. Maybe it is narcissistic. I don't know. I don't think it is. But I just always believed in myself, and that's it. I always knew that I was going to have the answers of whatever, and I was going to make the choices of my life according to what was happening, and either it was going to go good or either it was going to go bad. It didn't really matter. I had the choice. So I have read books. There is certain authors, there's certain people that, yes, I like what they're doing, I like what they talk about, but I have never ever seen anybody as my teacher, my guru, nothing like that. I guess the only external thing outside of me that amazes me, and I will always be amazed of that magic, is Mother Nature, animals, really. But just Mother Nature, to see how life is created. And I think that will always be, for me, what I see as my teacher, what it can inspire me to keep going. So, after I got pregnant, I realized that there was a lot of misconceptions and judgments and domestications in regards being a mother, in regards having kids, and in regards how to live motherhood, how to embrace motherhood. At the moment that my kids were born, there was no social media, there was nothing around me was bringing any awareness or taught me how to be a mother or anything like that. I just followed my intuition. And as I was doing that, I was seeing that the women around me had a lot of domestications in regards of how to be mothers. And that's the time. And that's when my medicine started flourishing more and becoming more clear to me. And I started speaking about all of that. And I held women's circles in Mexico and just, you know, with friends and anybody that I met, I would talk about this. I would write about it. And I talk about the domestications that we all have. How we have been programmed since we're little kids. We have been given this set of ideas that we follow blindly. And everything has to do according to where we grow up as well. If you're born and raised in Europe, whichever country you want to think of, as soon as you're born, you're going to be given this set of ideas. If you're born in the lands we know as Mexico, if we're born in the lands we know as the United States, etc., etc., etc. Because each society has its own ways. So we all are given this set of ideas, this set of programming that we start following pretty soon. since we're kids. And then when we're born, our parents instill the ideas also that they've had on how to supposedly raise a kid, right? What you're supposed to do, what you're not supposed to do. They already have these standardized ideas of how it's going to happen, how they're going to raise their kids. Parents have that. And yes, today there is, you know, more awareness, and there is this old new age motherhood shit coming out. I am a little bit judgmental of that just because I personally never needed any of that to learn how to be a mother. I'm not saying it was easy, and I'm not saying I'm better than others because I didn't need that. It's just that I feel that sometimes the self-help industry, the spiritual, and all these things that they're created and they're built with good intentions, at the end of the day, they sell delusional thinking because they take us away from our true essence. And at the end, we're following domestications and we're following the ideas of somebody else. It's not something that came out of us as we said, oh, I'm going to breastfeed my kid because of this and this and that. Oh, I'm going to breastfeed my kid because I read in a book that is about this, because the doctor told me this, because my midwife told me this. And it's great. And I get that that's how also knowledge gets passed on. But for me, I just don't believe in that. And that's my opinion. And that's the way that I have lived my life. So we're giving this set of ideas that we'll start following pretty soon. And it changes from place to place. For example, the way that I was raised was very open. I saw my parents naked. I would take showers with my parents. I was like 12 years old, and I would take showers with my dad. And when I share this experience, a lot of people, specifically in this country, in Mexico, I've never had that. But here in this country, I've had like, what? That sounds fucking weird. Like, you were 12 years old and you took a shower with your dad? I'm like, yeah. And it's just not strange to me because that's how I was born. That's how I was raised. And it was not pervy. My dad is not a fucking pedophile. And I'm thankful, right? So as families, we're also given this other set of ideas and programming that are outside of society, right? Each family is going to build their own ideas and their own ways of how to raise their kids or how to be. And then we're thrown out to the world. And then we're given all this other set of ideas and programming of how we should be. How we should be as women, how we should be as men, how we should be, you know, if we see ourselves in other different ways than just a man and a woman, that's also another situation. And I am not going to focus on that because I am a woman. So I see life as a being a woman, and that's how I'm going to share my life and my experiences. So, yeah. We're given another set of ideas of how to be mothers, how to be friends, how to be wives, how to be in this world. In these democratic societies that were created for the people and by the people. Bullshit. I am aware there is like Chewbacca. No, I like Chewbacca. Like this monster-like idea in everybody's head, in everybody's mind across the world about who is in power. Right now, for me, when I think people in power, and Trump comes to mind, right? But then there is other people, because Trump is just a puppet. There is the corporations. There is the corporations that are actually the ones that write the rules or pay for lobbyists and senates and senators and all these people to write the rules and laws for what it's convenient for them, right? So we know about this monster-like system that sort of floats, you know, it's like a huge, I don't know, UFO monster, like, that sort of flies above the earth and it's controlling everything, right? And some people feel it, some people are affected by that, some people are not feeling it, some people are not affected by that. It affects people in different levels, depending your economical status, depending your racial status, depending your immigration status, because that's how we live life right now. So we all have different experiences. Illegal immigrants have, each individual, their own experiences, because some illegal immigrants are doing really good. Some are doing really bad. Some legal immigrants are doing really good and some are doing really bad. Some American citizens are doing really good and some are doing really bad. So everybody has its own experience. But then we have this programming about how we need to treat each other, how we need to see each other. That programming was given to us. And we have accepted it and we perpetuate it. All of us, no matter the color of our skin, we do it. And today, talking about what's happening today, we're stuck in a lot of this romanticized, glamorized idea of what happened to our ancestors, what happened 500 years ago, what happened then, and how could it have been? And I've talked about that before as well, a lot. I have stopped talking about that because now I see things in a very different way. And now I feel that it's actually a little bit counterproductive to get lost in that glamorized, romanticized idea of how it was, because today it is what it is. And how it could be, who fucking knows? Who fucking knows? And that idea of like, go back to wherever you're from, colonizers, and give my lands back and fuck you. Yeah, that sounds really good. If I had the power to take out all the gringos from the lands we know as Mexico, believe me, I will fucking do it. So that wishful thinking in my head plays out really good because I wish I could do it. But reality is I can't, and that won't happen. And how life is today, it is what it is. And our wishful thinkings, our wishful revenges are just not real. And by doing that, we're just perpetuating this programming, these domestications that were given to us. And I see how these domestications that we have are sort of like a double-edged sword. Because it can benefit us and it can affect us, and it's like both at the same time. There are certain domestications that it's better to have and it feels good, and you know, and there are certain domestications that it's like, oh fuck. So it can go both ways. We have become so accustomed to those domestications that some of them, we need them to survive. But where do we find the middle point? Where do we find the balance? Because there are certain domestications that we need in order to survive, but they perpetuate the same thing that affects us, the other aspect where we are affected by them. Is the duality. And I feel that's why personally I have been trying to stay away from being stuck in race. Because at the end of the day, we all are affected by it. And I'm not talking right now about the system. I'm not talking about that monster like cloud, UFO, however you want to see it, however everybody sees it, you know, that is flying above the planet continuously, that controls everything. Because although I am affected by the system in so many ways that I'm not going to talk about right now, but that I am, in my immediate reality, in my day-to-day lived experience, I have the privilege to know being affected by that. I have the privilege of not living in fear. And I am aware that that's not the story for everybody. I am completely aware. But this is about my experience and how I see life. Whatever we're going through right now is part of a cycle. It's part of a repetitive cycle that has happened throughout the history of humanity. Like I say, today it's gonna feel different because life is different. In all levels, we are a complete different humanity as how we were 1,000 years ago, 500 years ago. We have evolved because life is evolving, life is changing, so we're moving. Our state of mind is changing, the way that we see things is changing. There are certain things that are not changing, there are certain things that are getting worse. But even with that, life is changing. I personally feel that for me, and this is why I have stopped doing that, it's a waste of time to be complaining about the system, to be complaining about how the capitalist system fucks me over, how colonizers are the worst, how this is a racist system. I got confused there for a moment how to word it. And I can be here all day complaining, and right now it's a really perfect time to be complaining about so many things. So many things. Financially, this is taking a toll into everybody's life, no matter. I mean, unless you're like the 1%, but I'm talking about my immediate reality, like normal people, like, you know, like me. A lot of you that are listening. I have a roof over my shoulder. I have good food at my table. I can walk. I can move. I have a lot of freedom. And I may not have a dime in my bank account, but I am such a privileged person. So this moment, what's happening right now is affecting a lot of people. And it's a perfect time to complain about a lot of things. But what does complaining do? What are we changing? What are we truly changing on our social media spaces? Awareness, we're creating awareness. Yeah, that's good. More and more people are becoming aware of how the United States is fucked up. Believe me, we already knew that. I'm 42 years old, and I've known the United States is fucked up since I was probably like 5 years old. And my parents knew that as well. And their parents knew that. So you don't have to worry about that. So what awareness are we trying to fulfill on our social media spaces? Is that changing anything? For how long people were protesting the children in cages? And all these protests and all this awareness and all this shit. And now who talks about that? Some people sometimes say, oh, and people are still in cages. I mentioned it. Did that change anything? We still have children in cages. That hasn't changed. So what does complaining is doing? I am affected. I have a lot of privileges, but I am affected also by the system. And I share this openly because I have no shame. Financially, in the past 5 years for me, it's been a fucking struggle. It's been so hard at times. I have created scholarships. People have helped me. I mean, that help has come and it's been tremendous. I know what it feels like to stress about money. At this moment, I'm aware of it. But I've been aware of it for a long time. This coronavirus shit is not bringing that awareness all of a sudden even more. No, I fucking know. I've known that for a long time. But complaining about it is not going to do anything. Complaining about the system is not going to do anything. Complaining how the capitalistic system wants to fuck me over is not going to do anything because I'm not changing anything. I still have to pay my rent. I still have to pay my insurance. I still have to pay my gas. I still have to do those things no matter what. There are certain things that we can change. And bringing awareness is not going to do anything. Unless you're a person that is in jail and you've been jailed because of racism and it's injustice, like, of course, you want to fight that with all your being. But when I see social media spaces in my immediate reality of people complaining, people of color, I've been part of organizations, I've been very involved in anti-racism and all of that. I've been involved in, like, in the Bay Area, Sacramento, here. The people that I see in my immediate reality that complain about it, even through social media, is not people that are going through those major things. I'm not saying that those experiences are not valid. They're going through stuff, but complaining about it is not going to change anything. And a change, excuse me, and a change within the system that created it all, it's impossible. We can't create a change within the same system that created it all. It's just impossible. No matter who it is. And people fall for that. And that's part of the domestications. Everything that we know, everything that we believe as truth has been given to us. It's a lie. We were not given the freedom to be born and then make our choices about who we want to be, how we want to live, what do we want to believe in, and what do we not want to believe in, what works for us and what doesn't. We are born into these societies and everything is given to us. Everything. What does it mean to have success? What do I need to have success? Oh, well, I need money. I need a good car. I need a college degree. I need a career. I need to go to a 9-to-5 job, or like I can be my own boss, but we're still involved in that. Being an entrepreneur doesn't mean like, oh, you made it. Actually, it's even more work than when you have a 9-to-5 job and you still have to do everything else and regulations and permits and all this stuff. I have a plan to go back and live in Mexico very soon. And when I talk to my friends that live here that are also immigrants, they ask me, what are you going to do for your work there? How are you going to live? How are you going to make money? When they ask me that, I see how the question and even them thinking, what am I going to do there? Comes from that domesticated idea that the only way that we can make money is either to work for somebody, we need a lot of money to survive, and we need all these things to pay for our rent, pay for our life, and all of that. And it's just amazing to me because I have the privilege to have had experienced life with 200 pesos a week. 200 pesos a week right now is like $7. And when I have had that life, I have been the happiest person in the world. And when I'm here and I struggle in this country, I'm always thinking of them. That's what it keeps pulling me. Because I know how I can live in my lands. And that idea, that domestication, that I need a job to survive is false. Yes, I need a roof over my shoulders. I need food. And I know buying land is not cheap. It's not like somebody just gave it to me. I had to work to buy land, but in my lands is not bad. I don't want a mansion. I'm not gonna go buy a house in fucking downtown San Francisco. I'm not gonna go buy a house here in fucking downtown Nevada City. I don't need that. I just need a little piece of land where I can have my garden, grow food, outsource local meat and that, because that's available where I live in Mexico. I have my casita, and that's it. That's all I need. I don't need more. I don't have desire of traveling. I don't have desire of going to foreign, exotic lands to be happy. At some point in my life, I did, but not anymore. I don't need to travel to be educated. I don't need to travel to gain knowledge and know about what other lands, what the people from other lands are experiencing due to modern colonialism. No, thank you. I experience that in my own lands. I don't need clothes. I don't need riches. I don't need diamonds. I don't need any of that to be happy. We have a choice how we want to perceive life. We have a choice. But while we're still believing everything that is coming from the outside and all this fear and all this fake happiness and fake love and light, we're always going to be lost. And at this moment is the perfect time for people to feel lost and be lost because they are accepting everything that is coming from the outside. And I am not saying that something real is not happening. I am not discounting that at all. But for those that we are not in that situation, for those that we are able to stay at home, for those that we are thankful and privileged of not being sick, of not having anybody around us sick, we have a choice. And when this happens, we have a choice on how we're going to live our lives and how we're going to perceive lives. Are we going to be leading our lives with fear? Or are we going to be reclaiming our sovereignty? And I'm not saying that it's easy at all. I'm not romanticizing, glamorizing that it's easy. I have to work my ass off in this country. I struggle a lot living in this country. It kills my soul. And I struggle financially. And I have a set of gifts, I call them. That sometimes prevent me to work in the world as a normal person. These gifts that I call them, because that's how I decide to call them, are considered PTSD or anxiety. I don't call them like that. They're my gifts. They're here to bring awareness in my life about what works and what doesn't work. And there are things that I still have to do, so I prepare myself. One of those things is driving, for example. I've been in car accidents and I have really bad PTSD, and I get it when I'm driving and I have to go to school. Right now, actually, this is why I actually love the social distancing, because for me, it works. When I was 15 years old, my dad got sick out of the blue. He was such a healthy person, didn't smoke, didn't drink alcohol, he did exercise, he was so healthy. And out of the blue, he became sick and he became quadriplegic. He was quadriplegic for 22 years. I was 15 years old and I lost my dad. He was alive, but he wasn't. He was not in a vegetative state, but he couldn't move. He was different. He was not there for me as he had always been there for me. And my dad and I, we had a very, very close, loving relationship. I mean, my dad adored me and I adored my dad. When that happened, I felt alone in the world. My mom was there, but we didn't have the same relationship. She had to work all the time, like all the time. She had 3 jobs in order to pay for our family because we were not rich. She had a job in the morning, 8 to 2, then 4 to 8, and then in the weekends. She's a social worker, and yeah, and then on Mondays, she would take my dad to his therapy. So I felt alone. I felt my world was just completely destroyed. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what I was going to do. We didn't have money. My plans and ideas of starting international relations and all this shit completely crushed because I had to think fast about what I was going to do. Because I couldn't just allow my mom to pay for everything, and we were going to private schools that my dad was paying, but now it was hard. My grandma would come and she would bring food. She would prepare food in the weekend and she would freeze it and have it out for the whole week. And I found myself in a very particular situation where I had to grow up from overnight. when all of the sudden my dad was there taking care of me, and then now I had to take care of myself. That shifted my life, and up to this day, that experience keeps shaping my life. And I had two choices. Either I was gonna be there, sorry for myself, the world is so unfair, life is so hard, why me? Why my dad? Fuck you, life, fuck you, system, whatever. Or I was gonna get my pants on, bring it on, let's get this done, and I am going to take care of my life, and I'm gonna fucking do what I need to do. I chose a second choice, of course. And this is how I see life today. And I know that experience allowed me to see life like this. And that's what keeps shaping me every day. Whenever I'm feeling sad, whenever I feel it's stressful, it is stressful. Yes, the system was built to fuck us over. Yes, we know this. How long have we known this? Hello? People with set of privileges, we have choices. And either we continue to stay with the reality and the programming of those domestications, or we break them down and we step up and we take care of what we need to take care of. When we keep complaining, when we keep giving our power to these systems, we give our power away. We give our sovereignty away, and that's something that nobody can take away. No one. We have to stay resilient. Every time, no matter what, this is just a cycle, and the cycle is gonna end. The new cycle is not going to be the same. Because just with every cycle, what needs to be burned, what needs to be out, will leave the realm of the new cycle. What needs to stay, and if we need to continue the lesson, the cycle, it will happen again. Just how nature works. Nature moves in cycles, and everything is perfectly, imperfectly, perfectly created. We have a choice, and it's up to us whether we accept our domestications and we let them go and we reclaim our sovereignty. I hope that you have a good day. It's beautiful here. It's April 1st, and I am very thankful for my life. There is uncertainty. I feel the collective, but I feel the peacefulness of Earth as well. Earth feels peaceful, and I connect with Earth a lot, a lot. So I am peaceful because Earth does speaks to me, and I'm listening. And although things are not going to be the way they used to be, we're resilient people. And we can overcome everything. At the same time, it is important not to stay complacent. It is important to stand up for what's right, to stand up for ourselves. Inhaling deeply. Hold it. Exhaling and letting go. Have a beautiful day.